Hey, Arcaders, it's UberNerd527 here. Welcome once again to the Pokemon Rewind Podcast. This is the weekly podcast where we're going over episodes of the Pokemon anime. But to spice it up, we choose a random story arc, which we go over episode by episode. Now, if you want to catch up with us, there are several different ways you can do so. I know that iTunes only has the last 10 episodes, but if you go on YouTube, or if you go on the site, thearcadearchives.com, you can actually catch up with the podcast. On YouTube, I actually have playlists that you can actually listen to all the podcasts in order, and you can catch up with us. And of course, you can also go on the site and also listen to them as well. Just go on the site, look podcasts, look for Pokemon Rewind, and then go under that tab, and you can actually find all the episodes from the beginning of the podcast. Now, also, if you're wanting to watch the episodes that we're doing, they are not on Netflix anymore as of right now, but if you can also go on YouTube and look those episodes up. You can also go on Pokemon.com, and they have a lot of the episodes as well. Now, on today's podcast, we're going to be going over a little bit of site news from our website. We are also going to go over a very quick review of one of the newest Pokemon movies, Hoopa and the Clash of Ages. I've just recently watch that movie, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that today. Then, of course, we're going to go over our fun facts for this episode. And finally, we're going to go into the episode itself. And today's episode is entitled, Get Along, Little Pokemon. Then at the end, of course, we give my pros and cons for this episode. As you can hear, I'm actually doing the podcast by myself this time. So if you want to reply to the podcast, please go to thearcadearchives.com and reply. Let us know what you think about this episode, what your thoughts are on this episode, what you thought about it. So, and we will definitely talk about that on future podcasts as well. Also, if you're listening to this on YouTube, you can also reply as well. All right, so let's start off with our site news. Again, we are part of thearcadearchives.com. We have a site there, of course, and if you're listening to this on the site itself, you can actually go onto the site and look at all the different podcasts that we have, webcomics, articles, and just videos and all kinds of different stuff that we have there. Now, I just had some quick site news that I wanted to throw out on this podcast today, and that's basically just letting you guys out there know that I'm a fan of a podcast called Skywalking Through Neverland. It's a podcast about Star Wars and Disney. And just recently, they were down here where I live here in Orlando for the Star Wars Dark Side Challenge Half Marathon. Because they were down here, they had a little meetup, and I actually was a part of that meetup. They did a little roundtable discussion about the marathon, what people thought, what people liked, what people didn't like. I was a part of that roundtable discussion. So if you go to skywalkingthroughneverland.com, hopefully by the time this podcast is up. If not, it will be soon. You'll be able to hear me on Skywalking Through Neverland. And if you're a big fan of both Star Wars and Disney, you will really, really enjoy this podcast. Both Richard and Sarah, otherwise known as Jedi Tink, do a great job of the podcast. And it's actually because of their podcast that this podcast itself exists. So I really just wanted to make sure that I gave them a shout out, let them know that I made them a part of this podcast as well. So shout out to all my pod friends over there at Skywalking Through Neverland. Hopefully, if you guys get a chance, make sure to hear my little guest spot on their podcast as well. All right, next up, we are going to go over Hoopa and the Clash of Ages. Now, Hoopa and the Clash of Ages was a movie that I actually just recently saw because it just recently came out on DVD. And for those of you who are out there probably going, well, why didn't you see it on demand or anything like that? Unfortunately, I don't have those services, so I have to wait a lot of times for things to come out on DVD before I can actually watch them. So I'm sorry if I'm a little behind the times. I did finally see Hoopa and the Clash of Ages, and I just want to give a quick little review about this movie and just talk a little bit about it. So eventually we will do an episode dedicated to this movie, but as of right now, I just want to give my quick little thoughts about this. So Hoopa and the Clash of Ages was a decent movie. I liked it as a whole, but there were a lot of gaping plot holes. There were a little things in the story. This movie reminded me a lot of another Pokemon movie that's not too well liked. This movie is called Destiny Deoxys. But the thing I liked about Destiny Deoxys and I liked about Hoopa and the Clash of Ages was that it was a movie that was very similar to a genre of movies that I enjoy. And for those of you out there who don't know, a lot of people know them as giant monster movies, and some people know them as kaiju movies. Now, I love giant monster movies. I love movies like Godzilla and Gamera and Pacific Rim. These movies I really, really enjoy. Not for the story or anything else, but for the fight scenes and for the special effect. Even though especially some of the older ones aren't all that great, it's still kind of fun to watch these giant monster movies and how they defeat this giant monster, and seeing two giant monsters go at it, I think is really, really fun, and just a movie that I can just turn off my brain and just enjoy. And I think that this movie, Hoopa and the Clash of Ages, is really that kind of movie. It's really just a giant monster fight. Yes, we have legendaries from all different generations of Pokemon. You have Pokemon like Lugia, and Rashiram, and Zekrom, and Kyurem, and you also have Dialga, Palkia, Giratina. They all come together in one single movie. And it was just really kind of fun to see them all together, fighting each other, just having a wonderful fight right in the middle of the movie. I will have to say it's not perfect. If you're looking for a deep story with character development and all that, you are not really going to get that in this movie. Hoopa, the main Pokemon in this movie, does have some character development, but really none of the other characters do. And I think the movie did a kind of a poor job of setting up some of the new characters that they had in the movie. I think they did a very poor job of kind of setting up the world that they were in. I think that really these type movies are more just for fun. They're not really for deep storyline or character development. Again, it's just turn off your brain and watch this kind of movie. And so that's kind of why I liked it, is it just was an entertaining movie and not something that I had to think too much about. So if you want to see Hoopa and the Clash of Ages, it is on demand. It is on DVD. You can now see it now. And now we're going to get ready for this summer, when in Japan they're going to have the new movie with Volcanion, which for some reason I couldn't remember the name last week, but I remember now. And of course, Magearna, which now I can finally say her name correctly. Yay me! So it's Magearna, who we now know is a fairy steel type from last week's episode. So that's pretty much it for my review of Hoopa and the Clash of Ages. All right, and now it's time for our fun facts for this episode. So this episode's title is Get Along, Little Pokemon. And it is the 101st episode of the Pokemon anime, and it premiered in the U.S. on April 29th, 2000. Which, again, this is really kind of serendipitous that we're actually airing these episodes in the kind of the same month that they were actually premiered about 16 years ago, which is kind of really really neat, I think. But it's just such a cool thing to almost have the same release date is the actual episode that we're recording about. So, all right. So that's pretty much it for the episode itself. Now, let's open the Pokédex and let's scan for Jolteon and Magnemite. All right, Pokédex open.
Magnemite, the magnet Pokémon, is able to float through the air and emits thunder wave through its magnet-shaped units located on its sides. Jolteon, the lightning Pokémon. When angered or frightened, the hairs on Jolteon's body become like needles that are fired at its opponents. It absorbs charged atoms and can produce 10,000 volts of electricity.
All right, we're going to start off with Jolteon. Now, Jolteon, a average Jolteon, is an electric type. I bet that shocked all of you out there. But yes, Jolteon are electric types. Their height are 2 feet 7 inches. They weigh 54 pounds. Jolteon is the evolved form of Eevee when you give it to a Thunderstone. I know a lot of people were surprised about that. Jolteon is only weak against ground-type Pokemon. not anything else. He's only weak to ground types. He is resistant to flying, steel, and electric as well. So that's just a really good Pokemon. I really do like electric types, specifically because they don't really have too many weaknesses. But a lot of the electric types that I use are very, very weak defensively. So you got to be very careful when you use electric types. Now, here's some fun facts about Jolteon. Jolteon and Zapdos actually share the exact same name in Japanese. The names are Thunders and Thunder, respectively. So Jolteon is actually called Thunders in Japanese, and Zapdos is called Thunder. Now, Jolteon's anatomy looks similar to a herding dog, which is actually very, very, very important to our episode today. It also has some similarities to a fennec fox and has some similar traits to coyotes, cats, and cheetahs. Now, according to my research on Bulbapedia.com, it may be inspired by the Raiju, a beast in Japanese mythology whose body is made of thunder and may take the form of a cat. Which I'm also pretty sure that this name, Raiju, is also the name for Raichu as well. So that's just another thing that's kind of interesting about Jolteon. Now, let's talk a little bit about Magnemite. Now, I was actually surprised to find out a lot of very interesting facts about Magnemite. Now, Magnemite is an electric steel type. It got the steel typing in Generation 2 when steel types were added into the game. It evolves into a Magneton at level 30. And a Magnezone by either leveling it up in the following places. If you're in Sinnoh, that would be Mount Coronet. If you're in Unova, that'd be the Charge Stone Cave. If you're in Kalos, you could do it in Route 13. And if you're in Hoenn in either Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, you could also do it in New Mauville. So any of those, you can actually evolve your Magneton into a Magnezone. Now, a Magnemite is about 1 foot tall. It weighs about 13.2 pounds. Now, Magnemite has a few more weaknesses than Jolteon does, and that's because of that steel typing. So it's weak to fighting, ground, and fire types. However, Magnemite can learn Magnet Rise, which kind of takes that ground weakness away. So you also got to remember that too. Now, Magnemite was originally known as Coil, which is also its name in Japanese in the original Pokemon beta. Magnemite and Magneton were the first Pokemon to change typing from pure electric to electric steel. Some of the very first Pokemon to actually add a type or change types entirely. This is seen a lot of times in Pokemon. Sometimes some Pokemon will change entire types from one version to another. Like, for instance, Snubbull is now a fairy type. So that is something that actually happens a lot here in the Pokemon world. Now, Magnemite also, and its whole line of family, so Magnemite, Magneton, and Magnezone, all have some of the most resistances of any Pokemon. They have 11 resistances and 1 immunity, making them and the Haunedge line some of the most resilient Pokemon of all. Now, if you add Magnet Rise in there, you can take out ground, but they're resilient to a lot of Pokemon, so they're pretty good Pokemon. They're pretty tough. And I've even seen some in some competitive teams as well, playing online on Pokemon Showdown. I've seen a lot of people use Magneton, Magnezone for a lot of good strategies. So definitely try that out. Now, Magnemite's cry was also changed slightly from Gen 1 to Gen 2. It's one of the very few Pokemon that they actually changed the cry a little bit. And that's because of the technology and the boost in it. Like, for instance, Pikachu now actually sounds more like the Pikachu from the anime as opposed to its original cry in Red, Blue, and Yellow. Now, in Gen 5, Magnemite was the most traded Pokemon on the GTS, and this is because of a trick that got trainers used in Pokemon Black and White 2 to bring people to what they called the Joint Avenue. It was kind of like create your own mall kind of thing. So you would create your own mall and you would make like little stores and you would try to get people to come. And one of the ways you got people to be attracted to the mall was by trading Magnemite. Now this was originated in by Japanese players and then kind of went all over the world for other people as well. That's all the fun facts I have for both Jolteon and Magnemite. So let's move on to the episode. And to remind you, this episode is called...
Get along, little Pokemon!
Alright, so today's Pokemon episode is a little bit different than most. And I know that we've been doing that a lot lately. I think the writers kind of got tired of writing the same intro to this to each episode. So they wanted something a little different. So, as we haven't really seen much of lately, we see Ash, Misty, and Tracy walking. No, they're not riding on Lapras this time. They're actually walking, and they're walking in some type of desert looking. Very much looks like the West Coast kind of deserty area with all the mountains and rocks and everywhere. Some of the pictures that I've seen of, like, the deserts out there near Nevada and whatnot, it looks very similar to that. Now, we know that our heroes are traveling to Trovita to go to the next Orange League gym, which was... It's way overdue that we need to get to another gym battle here, because it's been a long, 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 long time. Now, they're on an island called Mandarin Island, another word that is also used in conjunction with oranges. So they're just kind of traversing this whole island, and probably this is one of the bigger islands in the Orange Islands League, because we've been on this island for what, two or three episodes now? So it's been a while. So we come back to our heroes, and they're walking on in this desert, and of course Misty and Ash have had it. They can't believe that they have been walking through this desert. They are hot, they are tired, and they also kind of realize that the reason why they're so hot and tired is because, well, they've been riding on Lapras for a long time, so I guess they're just not used to walking so much as they used to be. I guess this was another kind of throw out to the fans of the show who were probably like, well, I liked it when they kind of walked from place to place instead of riding on Lapras. Maybe that was kind of a little toss up to those fans, but I just think that this is kind of true. You know, you haven't walked for a while, and so now you're getting tired a lot easier. Of course, they're all 10 years old. You know, most of them are 10 years old. So, I mean, how tired could you be? So they kind of realize that this is why that Lapras is... they've been riding on Lapras. They've been a little lazy as of late. And just as they're kind of thinking about all this, then, of course, a storm rolls in. And this is a big storm. You can see the dark doom clouds are kind of rolling in. Ash and company are in for it now. So we get them kind of running through the rain, and they're trying to get to the next town. They're about 3 days away, so they have to run as quickly as they can. So they decide to get some cover. And as they're running toward this, Misty is had it. She can't run anymore. And so she kind of just collapses for a little bit. And Ash and Tracy just kind of turn around and tell her, come on, let's move it. And that's when you see some lightning strike and some thunder in the background. So Tracy spots a giant rock overhang. And so they all go running under the rock. And you can see that Ash has grabbed Misty and is kind of helping her to run towards this rock, which I think is kind of interesting, especially for those of you out there who are Ash and Misty shippers. So, and he's really just trying to make sure that Misty's okay. And in fact, even one time kind of shields her from the lightning, which I thought was kind of interesting. Now, as they're sitting under this rock, the lightning is going off. Pikachu kind of senses something and kind of looks up into the sky. And you see the lightning is now striking a bunch of Magnemite. The Magnemite are kind of collecting this electricity. Of course, Ash pulls out his Pokedex, and we get our scan of Magnemite. We get to a little bit of information onto Magnemite and what Magnemite are. We talked a little bit about that at the beginning of the episode. And Ash kind of wonders what they're doing what they're doing all the way out here. This is a desert. Why in the world are Magnemite out here in the middle of nowhere kind of collecting this electricity? Well, as they're collecting all this, then of course the Magnemite kind of disperse, and of course a Jolteon comes up. Now, Jolteon, of course, is the evolutionary form of Eevee. A lot of people love the Eevee forms, Jolteon being one of them. Jolteon's one of my favorite Eevee forms. Espeon is my absolute favorite, but Jolteon is definitely maybe second place. I don't know. But I really like Jolteon. When I got my Pokemon game originally, Jolteon was the Pokemon I really, really wanted. I thought it was a kind of a cool-looking Pokemon. Very, very neat design. So this Jolteon is barking like crazy and also sparking electricity, which attracts the Magnemite. And as Ash and Misty and the rest of our heroes are looking on to this, then we meet a cowboy. That's right, a cowboy with two Tauros and a pulling this wagon, and the Jolteon is kind of collecting these Magnemite. Now, the cowboy then tells the pilgrims to hop in to keep them safe away from the electricity. And of course, since this is the Pokemon world, we can trust a stranger that we've never ever seen before with a wagon. But I'm not going to go there because I try to make this a family-friendly show. So. So as the lightning's being collected and all this, all our heroes are kind of looking on at this really neat sight of these Magnemite kind of absorbing all this electricity. Then the storm kind of subsides and we hear that this cowboy as a Magnemite ranch, and he ranches these Magnemite very much like a rancher would have cows or sheep or anything like that. He collects them, and what he does is he brings the Magnemite around to different storms, and he actually has the Magnemite collect the electricity. Then he takes the Magnemite to different towns that are on the island and actually helps them if they need any power or there's a power outage somewhere. He can actually send the Magnemite to help out with that kind of problem. So everyone's kind of like just really kind of, wow, this is a cool job. Isn't that really, really neat? They talk a little bit more with the cowboy and he blows a whistle and all the Magnemite come floating around. Tracy is actually kind of clocking this and it takes the Magnemite only 2 seconds to get over to where this cowboy is, and Tracy kind of admires the fact that these Magnemite have been trained very, very well. And so the cowboy then hook up the Magnemite to this generator. This is the way that he can actually tell how charged the Magnemite are. He calls them by number. Magnemite 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They're all different numbers. As they are being checked, Ash is like, well, why you just give them numbers? Why can't you just give them names? The cowboy then, of course, explains the fact that he can't remember a whole heap of names, so he just gives them a whole bunch of numbers, and that's, of course, how he remembers which one is which. Ash is like, well, how can you tell who's who? And he's like, oh, yeah, you can tell this one by that, and that one by this, and this one by that. And Ash and Misty are kind of looking at him going, you're crazy. All these Magnemite look exactly the same way. How can you tell? But of course, I guess being a rancher, you could kind of tell their personalities. Speaking of personalities, one of the Magnemite is kind of missing, and we find out that it's number 6, who tends to be this cowboy's black sheep, who kind of just runs wherever it wants to go and kind of just does its thing. So Jolteon goes after number 6 and does a thunder wave to kind of attract it to come back. Of course, number 6 is kind of, he talks a little bit more about it, saying that he's the little maverick and he's always wandering off. And you can also see that number 6 has, on its magnets, are a little bit more bent than the other Magnemite, I guess, so that we can actually tell this one apart from the other ones. Now, Ash makes up actually a very good question to this Pokemon, to this Pokemon rancher, and he says, well, wouldn't it be easier just to keep all these Magnemite in Pokeballs? And the cowboy then comes back with, well, see, that's the problem. If I had to pull them out of the Pokeballs every time lightning came out, I'd miss the lightning storm. Which, I guess in a way makes sense. Sort of, kind of, maybe. So it's just best for them to kind of, you know, to be free and be wild. And of course, you know, it does make it harder for him, but it makes more sense. It speeds up everything. And it's better for the Pokemon to kind of just roam around and be a little bit wild and, you know, not have to worry too much about being hooked up into Pokeballs. So after he's talking about all this, the Magnemite go over to where Pikachu is. And I guess they're kind of attracted to Pikachu, not in any kind of emotional sense, but the fact that Pikachu is kind of emitting a lot of electricity, so they're all kind of attracted to Pikachu. So they kind of pile up on Pikachu and try to absorb some of his electricity. Now, Ash is trying to figure out what's going on, and just as he comes up to the big pile of Magnemite, the Magnemite get angry and actually shock him, which then, of course, after they shock him, they disperse, and Pikachu's like, "Are you okay?" Ash is like, "Yeah, I'm fine. Electricity doesn't really bother me anymore." I guess because Ash has been shocked a little too much by Pikachu and other electric types that he's come across. I guess he just doesn't feel it anymore. Now, at this moment, our cowboy, of course, says, "Hey, you're a little tough hombre, aren't you? Kind of like myself, if I'm not mistaken." And this is, I guess, kind of foreshadowing what's about to happen in the episode. Now, they start to go off, and you see Jolteon, again, using its Thunder Wave to attract the Magnemite. And our heroes are now on the wagon train. The rancher is kind of going towards the next thunderstorm. And Ash is kind of talking to this guy. He's kind of sitting up with him and talking about the Orange League and how he really wants to be in a part of this whole league. And he wants to get all the rest of the badges so that way he can get into the Orange League. The cowboy again talks about him. You're probably heading to Trovita. Now, I can't take you all the way there, but I can take you to the next town. And, of course, you know, everyone thanks him for doing so, because, you know, he doesn't have to do that. And so it makes it a lot easier, too, on Misty and Ash, who are not, I guess, used to walking anymore. So, of course, then we finally get an introduction to our cowboy, and our cowboy's name is Ethan. And so Ethan is, Ash calls him Sir, and Ethan's like, "Oh, don't call me Sir. You can call me by my name. My name's Ethan." So we get that Ethan is kind of admires Ash a little bit, kind of because Ash kind of reminds Ethan of himself. Now, during this ride, Ethan gives the reins to Ash to kind of control it. Now, one of the Tauros kind of notices this, kind of figures out that, oh, this is not the person that usually does this. So the Tauros kind of thrashes a little bit, and which rocks the rest of the buggy. But Ash kind of gains back control. And so now is controlling the wagon train, which I think is also another little foreshadowing for what's about to happen in the episode here in just a little bit. And also gives Ash a little bit of notoriety to know that he knows how to kind of take care of Tauros. Of course, he has a whole herd of Tauros that are living at Professor Oak's lab. So I'm guessing he's very familiar with how Tauros kind of work, how to kind of wrangle them a little bit. They've made it to another storm. The Magnemite are collecting their electricity. Tracy's kind of drawing them do this. Nash is kind of looking on in awe at how all this is working. It's just kind of a little quiet little scene of them kind of seeing the Magnemite kind of work. Then we get like just this little quiet scene of all the Magnemite kind of just lounging around and kind of relaxing. It's kind of reminds me of like a sheep herder kind of just sitting around while the sheep are kind of laying and kind of chilling, you know, not really doing anything, just kind of watching over the sheep a little bit. So everyone's just kind of relaxing, and our heroes are around a fire. They're kind of eating, it looks like bread. Not really sure, but they're just kind of relaxing. But of course, who's watching our heroes sitting relaxing? That'd be none other than Team Rocket. And so Team Rocket have seen our heroes with the Magnemite and the Jolteon and of course Pikachu himself. And so they all decide to of course steal them for the boss. But then Jesse says, "But we are going to use these electric Pokemon to get some money for ourselves before we give them to the boss. So they kind of, James kind of asks why, how are we going to do that? And Jesse, for the most part, says, I don't really know, but I think we're just going to sell the electricity. And so they all decide that this is a great idea, and they decide to go ahead and catch these Pokemon so that they can make some money and, of course, give them to the boss. So as Team Rocket is getting ready, we see that Ethan has set up a telecommunication place in his little wagon train, which is really weird. Which is really weird because it looks like an old-timey wagon that you'd see in, like, a Western. But, of course, we have a video phone inside. I guess nowadays it wouldn't be that weird, but, you know. So anyways, we find out that town not too far from where they are, and the town has got hit by the storm, and their power plant got hit by lightning, and so now all the power is down. They're kind of running out of options. The Magnemite that actually are at the Pokemon Center are kind of like the backup generators, are kind of losing their power, so they need Ethan to bring his Magnemite to this town, so that way they can power up the generators and hopefully bring back all the power to the city. So just as they're talking to Nurse Joy and Officer Jenny, the power goes out and the call gets dead. And of course, Ethan is like, all right, let's get going. Let's get over to this place. And all, of course, our heroes decide to help him along the way. So our heroes are now off. Jolteon is hurting all the Magnemite, but the Magnemite start going off on their own. They don't know why exactly. Ethan sends Jolteon after the Magnemite, and they kind of run after Jolteon. Now, they don't know exactly what's going on, but of course, who comes out of nowhere but Team Rocket, of course, saying their motto. We also see that their balloon is now has a giant magnet tied to the bottom of it, and they're pulling the Magnemite that way. And that's exactly what they're doing. Their plan is, I guess, to attract all these Magnemite, fly them away from our heroes. We've got Team Rocket, we've got our heroes, and now, of course, we have our little standoff as usual. Jesse does a very terrible cowboy accent. James pulls out a grabber, which then grabs both Pikachu and Jolteon. Now, Ash tells Pikachu to do a Thunder Shock. That it doesn't work because the grabber is electric-proof, which I guess is smart of them, finally. Of course, they've done this kind of thing before, so I'm guessing they're used to it. However, they're not used to Jolteon's Pin Missile, which shoots out, kind of hits James so that he actually loosens his grip and lets go of both Pikachu and Jolteon. Now, Ethan tells Jolteon to use Thunder Wave to attract the Magnemite, and of course, they start getting attracted to Jolteon. Then, of course, Jesse throwing a Pokeball at a Magnemite, which bonks, she bonks the Magnemite on the head. I don't know if that was an accident by the animators or what, but I just thought that was worth mentioning, that the fact that Jesse throws the Pokeball, whacks the Magnemite as hard as she can, then the Arbok comes out. Now, Arbok falls down to the ground and almost gets knocked out by the force of the fall. All the Magnemite are come back except for, of course, number 6, who is still attached to the giant magnet. Jesse tells Arbok to use his tackle attack. Misty cries out to Jolteon to watch out, and Jolteon is really trying to use his Thunder Wave to get all these Magnemite. So he's waiting for all the Magnemite to get out, and he's waiting for number 6 to let go of that magnet. But he waits too long, and Arbok then, of course, tackles him to the ground. And then, of course, Arbok tackles Jolteon, making him fly. Now, Ethan tries to stop all this and gets in the way of Jolteon falling down. And this knocks Ethan all the way back to a giant rock really hard, and he breaks his arm. Now, Ash tells Pikachu to use Thunderbolt, and, of course, we blast off Team Rocket. Is this the last we're going to see of Team Rocket? Oh no, this is one of those rare instances in an episode where we actually get Team Rocket coming back after a blast off. So We'll be seeing them here in just a little bit. Now, we come back to the wagon. Jolteon is still pretty injured. Not too badly. He just needs some rest. But Ethan is actually in a cast. As you can see, Misty has kind of put a cast on him. And his arm is broken. He can't use it to ride. And he needs to get to that town to power up those Magnemite. So, of course, who decides to step up and to do this? And that, of course, would be Ash. So he grabs one of the Tauros, puts a saddle on him, and he decides to go ahead and bring the Magnemite over to this town. And so Ethan thanks Ash for doing it, and he gives him 9 of the Magnemite to help out. And, of course, Ash grabs, borrows the Tauros, and, of course, decides to ride off and bring these Magnemite to the town. Now, he knows that Ethan is very confident in Ash. For a guy who just met this kid, I think he's a little too confident. I know that we set up the fact that Ash kind of reminds him of himself when he was that age. I get that. I just don't think you would trust a complete stranger this quickly. Of course, then again, we did have some time lapses, so a few days may have gone by, so maybe he got to know him a little bit better and actually trust him a little bit more. So either way, Ash just takes 9 of the Magnemite with him, and he blows the flute, and the Magnemite come flying around as Ash saddles up Tauros and rides off. Now, Misty and Tracy tell him that they'll be right behind him, that they're going to just ride the wagon and bring Ethan as quickly as they can. And so Ash goes riding off into the distance, and we just left to wonder, will Ash do it? Will Ash bring these Magnemite to the town? And so Ash is riding Tauros, and Pikachu's having a hard time kind of holding on as he's riding right in front on to kind of Tauros's, I guess you'd call that a mane? I'm not really sure, but it kind of a mane kind of look. Now, as he's riding, the Magnemite kind of disperse and go all different places. Now, Ash is already kind of like, oh, come on, guys. No, don't leave yet. Come back, please. He blows the whistle. He tries everything he can. And then he's like, oh, crap, I blew it. All right. And then, of course, Pikachu then, of course, used Thunder Wave. Just like Jolteon used previously, and that brings over all the Magnemite. Pikachu is still a little bit tired from his fight with Team Rocket, so he's still a little tuckered out. And so Ash decides to kind of count the Magnemite, make sure he's got all of them. So he counts all the Magnemite, but he's still missing one. He's not exactly sure, and of course, it comes to mind, number 6, the black sheep that he has with him has gone off. So Ash decides to go off after number 6. So we get number 6, and he's kind of just cruising around and doing his thing, and, you know, very unfocused, unlike someone else I know, the man in the mirror. So Ash catches up with number 6, and he's like, dude, you can't go off like this, bro. You have to stick with me, man. We got to get to this town. And, of course, the Magnemite's like, whatever, dude. Then the Magnemite pulls Ash towards something, and he doesn't exactly know what it is. But, of course, it's Team Rocket who decide to do their motto again. However, Meowth cuts them and says, no, not again. We've already said it once. We don't need to do it again. We see that they have some type of contraption with them that is actually building electricity and is pulling the Magnemite toward them. Now, this is an electromagnetic machine that uses static electricity to bring the Magnemite towards them. Kind of like what Jolteon and Pikachu have done with their Thunder Wave, a more non-Pokemon-esque way, I guess. So the funniest part about this is James and Jesse are rubbing these to create the static electricity. Meowth kind of sounds like a salesman for this thing, saying that it's portable, it's environmentally friendly, and then James adds in the fact that rubbing this on his scalp is actually, rubbing this on his head is actually doing wonders for his scalp. So I don't know. So anyways, so Ash takes Magnemite and he tries to run away so that way the Team Rocket can't get this Magnemite. And so Team Rocket chases after Ash and they try to rub as hard and as fast as they can. And Ash sees Pikachu and tells Pikachu to try to use whatever power he has left to kind of attract the Magnemite and get out of here. But they're too late because Team Rocket then uses their electromagnet to attract all the Magnemite. And Pikachu is like, come on, guys, come back, come back. But he's like, oh, okay, well, they're gone. Anyways, so the Magnemite go towards Team Rocket, and just as they get close enough, Meowth grabs a sheet and puts it over them and kind of puts them in like a bag. And so Pikachu then tries to use what very little electricity that he has to try to use Thunder Wave to bring the Magnemite towards him. So he uses as much power as he can muster to kind of bring these Magnemite back as best he can. And Ash is kind of warning him, dude, you're going to wear yourself out, man. You only have a little electricity left. Now, this is starting to work because the Magnemites are pulling Meowth and the bag toward him, towards Pikachu. And then Meowth says, dude, you got guys, you've got to rub harder. Otherwise, we're going to lose these Magnemite. So Jesse and James rub harder. And somehow their electromagnetic gun is now on a tripod. Now, Pikachu is using what little energy it can to bring the Magnemite back. And so now we're in a little electric tug of war between Team Rocket and Pikachu and Ash. And Ash is like, dude, you gotta cut it, man. You're gonna hurt yourself, bro, to Pikachu. And Pikachu just won't listen because he wants those Magnemite back for Ash. And that's when number 6, the Magnemite that Ash has had the whole time, goes out of Ash's arms and then jumps right into the electricity that both the generator and Pikachu are creating. Now, he absorbs all this electricity, and then you see a big light, and the electricity then, of course, is much more powerful than anything either of them can actually make. And so it attracts all the Magnemite, which rips out of the end of the bag, making Meowth land on his butt. And just as they're doing that, of course, the Magnemite then circle number 6. Number 6 glows, and anytime a Pokemon's glowing, you know what that means. Of course, number 6 then evolves into a Magneton. And, of course, Ash pulls out his Pokedex, see what Magneton is all about. And we get a little bit of information on Magneton. Now, I didn't really want to go over Magneton for those of you who hadn't watched the episode yet. So I wanted to keep it to just Magnemite, which is why I didn't go over Magneton. I kind of wanted to keep it a little bit of a secret. But I'm sure Magneton will show up in another episode. So I'll definitely go over that when he appears again, when it appears again. So the Magnemite then circle around Pikachu, and they kind of give him some energy, which kind of, you know, brightens up Pikachu. And then, of course, Team Rocket then, of course, tries to rub as hard as they can to bring out static electricity. But, of course, rubbing harder means now they're catching their clothes and fur on fire. And so Ash tells Pikachu and the Magnemite to use a Thunderbolt. And so Pikachu, Magnemite, and Magneton all shock Team Rocket, and this time they blast off again, and we won't see them again for the rest of the episode. Ash then, of course, rides off into the city to bring the Magnemite and the Magneton so that you get the power. We get Tracy, Misty, and Ethan, who have caught up, now gotten to the city. I don't know how long they waited until they finally decided to follow after Ash. But it must have been a long time because that fight with Team Rocket did take a good while. So they must have really waited for a while before they caught up. But anyways, so Tracy, Misty, and Ethan are coming up to the city and they see that all the lights are on, which means Ash delivered the Magnemite because the town now has power and everything is wonderful once again. Now we get a final scene here of Ethan and he kind of thanks Ash as well as Officer Jenny and Nurse Joy. And Ethan, surprisingly, asks Ash if he wants to join him and become a Pokemon rancher and kind of ranch these Magnemite with him. Ash says, no, I'm good, bro. I just gotta go. I really want to get part of this Orange Island League. And, you know, maybe someday I'll know a lot more about Pokemon just like you do. And Ethan says, I'm sure you'll know much, much, much more. So they shake hands and they go off, and our heroes are now kind of walking toward their next area, their next adventure on the road here. So that's pretty much the end of the episode as we see our heroes walk into the sunset. So that's pretty much it for Get Along Little Pokemon. All right, pros and cons. Okay, let's start off with my pros. Now, for this episode, I did actually enjoy it. This is one of the very few episodes from the earlier seasons that I can actually remember. I did really like this episode. Maybe I'm a little bit partial to it because it's kind of a Western episode. And I love Westerns. I'm a sucker for Westerns. I really do love them. This episode, I feel, didn't really beat around the bush. It didn't try to pad out anything. It was a pretty tight story, very much similar to how our last episode with Wherefore Art Thou Pokemon was kind of a tight story and kind of a tight-knit episode. I think this episode was pretty much very similar to that, to where this was a very, very good story I enjoyed very, very much. It makes sense, and it kind of makes the world of Pokemon a little bit bigger, because now we get to see a whole side of Pokemon training that we've never seen before, because usually Pokemon trainers are just these people who catch Pokemon and have them in fights. But now we meet a Pokemon rancher that actually rustles up these Pokemon, kind of herds them like sheep, and uses their electricity to help other people out. I think that's really kind of neat, kind of difference to see with different kind of things that we see here in the Pokemon world. And later on, of course, we see other things and other uses as well. But I think this is a very unique kind of thing and something that was very unexpected, especially in this story arc. Now, my cons for this episode is this is, again, another throwaway episode. This episode is not important to the overall story arc of Ash going to the Orange Island League. This has nothing to do with him getting badges. This has nothing to do with him going on to the next town. It's just another adventure. It's a fun adventure, don't get me wrong, but it is a throwaway episode. You do not need to see this episode to know that Ash is going to his next badge. Now, we're getting very, very close to Ash actually getting to the next island and finally getting his next badge. But we're still probably about two episodes away. And it's been a long time since Ash did get his last badge. This episode was good. I liked it. But as an episode, as a part of a whole story arc, I didn't really like it in that sense, because it just didn't give me more, you know, about the Orange Islands or about the gym battles or anything like that. It was just a fun, quick episode that, again, I think they just really were trying to pad this season of Pokemon out as much as they could, so that way they could get into so they can give enough time for when the next games were coming out. So I did like this episode. I thought it was a great episode. Very tight story. I did like the character of Ethan. I thought he was kind of neat. But as a part of this whole story arc, I didn't think it was necessary. That's pretty much my it. Now, if you want to give your thoughts on this episode of Pokemon, please, please, please make sure you reply. This podcast is part of thearcadearchives.com. And you can go on to thearcadearchives.com and you can see all kinds of other different podcasts, video reviews, videos, playthroughs, We do all kinds of different things here on the website to kind of make it feel like a virtual arcade, a place where everyone can come and have fun, talk about their favorite things, also talk about video games, of course. And so if you're listening to this on thearcadearchives.com and you watch this episode with us, please, we want to know what you think. So please leave us a reply on the website. If you're on the main page, you'll see a word balloon on the top right of the screen. You can click that and reply. If you clicked on the actual post, if you scroll to the very bottom of the post, there should be a place to reply as well. If you're listening to this on YouTube, you can also reply below. So please make sure to reply, and also please make sure you subscribe to the channel that this video is on, please. We want to make sure that we're getting as many viewers as possible. Now, we are also on Facebook. TheArcadeArchives.com, if you go to Facebook.com/Arcade1981, we're on there as well as Facebook.com/TalesFromTheGameGrid. Tales from the Game Grid is our monthly webcomic created by myself, and it comes out every month, and this fan page is for those of you who are fans of the comic, of the site in general. We try to get as much site news as we can on here as well. So please go to the Facebook.com, Arcade1981 for the site itself, and Tales from the Game Grid for those of you who are fans of Tales from the Game Grid, the webcomic. Also, this podcast, and of course, Cartoon Connoisseur Theater, because these are podcasts that are created by me. You can go on the site, and you can talk about that there as well. We're also on Twitter. You can find us at Arcade A Network. Again, that's at Arcade A Network, or you can talk to me directly at TalesFTGameGrid. Again, that's at TalesFTGameGrid. If you're listening to this on iTunes, we would really appreciate a review. Please be honest. You don't have to give us 5 stars, but if you really do like us, please make sure to review us. Make sure that you put as many stars as you feel that we're worth. And, of course, so that way it'll be easier for other people to find us out there. Really like this podcast as well, because we want this podcast to be something special. All right, I think that's about it. Whew, that's a lot of things to talk about. Well, our next episode in the Orange Island story arc is an episode called The Mystery Menace, or The Phantom Menace. Ooh. I wouldn't be surprised if the title of this episode was actually a reference to The Phantom Menace, because it came out around the same time. So anyways, so this is the closest Pokemon the anime will ever get to a political thriller, if you will. It's a kid's show, so you can't get too far into it. But after falling into the sewer, Ash and company come face to face with a monster. Now, they just barely escape this monster. And also come face to face with the town's mayor, who's trying to cover up that this monster exists so that way he can get elected. Now, when the mayor decides to use his own personal SWAT team to get rid of this monster, who could quite possibly be a new species of Pokemon, Ash and company decide to try to save him. So, can Ash fight off the mayor's minions and save this supposedly new Pokemon? Well, you'll have to listen out to our next episode to find out. So, thank you again so much for joining us here for Pokemon Rewind Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. From all of us here at the Arcade Archives and Pokemon Rewind, best wishes, everyone. Here's a clip from our next episode.
I can't take much more of this.
Me neither.
But that thing just isn't going to leave us alone.
Here it comes again.
I'm sick and tired of being scared. Now it's our turn to do the scaring here.
Yeah.
Squad leader to base. Squad leader to base. We've discovered 3 unidentified creatures. Please advise. Over. 3. Excellent work!
Launcher, attack immediately!
Roger. Okay, get the putty guns ready. Fire!
Wait, stop! We're not really monsters!
You are listening to a podcast on the Arcade Archives Network. If you like what you've just heard, visit our website at arcadearchives.com, where you can check out our audio podcasts, articles, and announcements of upcoming events. You can also email us at arcadearchivesnetwork@gmail.com. You can also go to iTunes and download not just this podcast, but our other ones as well. And be sure to leave us 5-star reviews too while you're at it. So until next time, keep playing with power, because there are no limits.
Message from headquarters. This is a Rebellion production and is part of the Arcade Archives Network.
That is all.